lovely friends. Welcome to another episode of the Shine On You podcast. If you are new, welcome. I have an exciting announcement to share. Things are happening fast, and we are going to be hosting our first live podcast recording. I'm so excited. This is something that I envisioned from the very beginning, and it is a way for you to be a part of the conversation, to be in the room and have the same amazing felt experience that I get to have sitting down in the studio. So if you are in the vicinity of Wilmington, we will be having our very first live event. It will be an unforgettable evening, and I want you to be there for the energy exchange in the room. I am looking forward to curating a very high vibe for that night. So the very first live recording event will be with a guest that you all likely have heard many times. She is pretty much a local celebrity status. Everybody knows of her. The one and only Fox will be joining us for a evening with some fun and some surprises. She has a wealth of information, intelligence, and intuition, which you will get to experience firsthand if you have not had the pleasure of meeting her and being in her space. And for our ticket holders, you will have a very special opportunity to be selected to have a live animal soul reading for all of us to see and be a part of. I'm really excited to be able to offer this to the community. So if you know somebody that you have been telling them you really need to get your animal soul reading done, this is a chance for them to be potentially chosen to be up at the front of the room with Fox and us supporting them as they learn what their animal soul is in real time. So that will be for guests that have not had an animal soul reading before. And the rest of us will get to partake in that experience. Of course, there's a lot of fun energy in the room happening during a reading. I have seen them before, and I can tell you, you definitely will get something out of it. Also, Fox graciously offered to do a Q&A for us, answering all your burning questions about your soul animal, maybe your family's ecosystem, or just about her and her work in general. So that is going to be taking place on Thursday, May 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the Elevate co-working space, which is a really lovely atmosphere. If you've never been there, you're going to love it. And it's going to be fun, uplifting, and guaranteed to be expansive. So grab your tickets. We literally only have 20 tickets. So the tickets are available now. They're $25, and you can either go to the show notes in this episode to get your ticket, or you can go to my link in bio over on Instagram, which is at the handle Vibe with Intuition. Bring a friend. Maybe they've been hearing you talk about your animal soul for any length of time, and they're like, hey, I want to know mine, because it is really beneficial and supportive information for you to know. It is actually very, very practical. So this is an interactive chance to be in there for a live reading, and I can't wait to see you, to meet you if I haven't already, and to hug you. Today's guest is someone that I've never met before we got together in the studio, but many of you nominated her repeatedly, and I'm so glad that you did. I got the pleasure of sitting down with JoLynn Stutz. JoLynn is a native to Wilmington, although she has recently relocated a couple hours away, but finding someone native to the area? Pretty rare. Most of us find our way here as transplants. But what I love most about this talk and JoLynn is just how much of an open book she is. I had a blast getting to know her and her background in opening up to her intuitive gifts and just how passionate she is about helping others live from their intuition. This is a fun one. So enjoy it. Sit back, get ready to drop in. And let's show some big love for JoLynn over on the show post on Instagram. And I will see you all on the other side. Hey, everybody. I'm so always excited to be back in the studio space. This is where the magic happens. And we have a guest today, someone who you all actually nominated and brought to my awareness, Jolynn.
Hey. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was a journey for you to come today, and I was so impressed that you were like, yeah, I'm in, and I'll be there. When? Next week? I'm like, okay, great. I have an opening.
I'm a very opportunistic animal, so I'm just like, you know what? Anything to, like, break out of the day-to-day. I need a little spontaneity, you know, because everything can get so, you know, monotonous in this season of life.
Absolutely.
And so when you're like, hey, you want to do this thing? I'm like, absolutely.
Let's go. I love that. I'm the same way. I know, especially with little kids, which you have three of under the age of...
Seven's my oldest.
Seven. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I feel you there. Yeah. Life can go smoothly, but also you have the opportunity to get out and do something different, out of the norm, and you're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's the same way.
It was because it, like, you need that separation, right? Like, my whole work is oriented around motherhood specifically, and, like, parenthood as, like, a doula and, like, the intuitive niche that I'm in. But just my personal life, like, it's really nice to have something a little separate.
Yeah, a little autonomy, a little break for you. Yeah. I know, it's fun. And it's fun here. This is the magical spot where we have fun. So, yeah, thanks for making the journey down. And you are, where are you from? Are you from Wilmington?
I am born and raised in Wilmington.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so you're one of the rare ones that actually...
I keep getting told that, and I'm just like, you know, it's a magical place. The beach is wonderful. The community is wonderful. It's a really good place to be.
Yeah, and growing up here, I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes.
Oh yeah, it used to feel so much smaller than it is now.
My husband grew up here half his life, so he moved here when he was in, I think, maybe middle school. So anyway, but we're probably older than you, so it was a while ago. But yeah, he's always like, yeah, it used to be like you could make it from one end of town to the other in like 15 minutes. I'm like,
that's it. When I left my house, you know, when I lived here, I lived in the Monkey Junction area, and I would only give myself like a 15-minute window because, like, I can get anywhere in town in 15 minutes. And now, like, to Target or to Wrightsville Beach, it's like an hour with the traffic.
A lot of people have found out about our little secret, including myself. I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm new-ish. I moved here 3 years ago. Actually, 3 years ago this past weekend, is wild because it doesn't feel like 3 years. But he, I guess, is kind of coming back as, you know, retread. But I am new to the area, and I obviously have fallen hard for all that we have to offer here. How long ago did you relocate to Durham?
90 days ago.
Okay, so this is brand new.
January 1st, the universe was like, go here. And I was like, fine, if you want me to. And it was not without kicking and screaming because I'm the child and the universe is the parent. But gotta go where the carrot's being dangled.
I get that. Yeah, do you miss it here, obviously, a little bit?
I mean, that's why, like I told you at the beginning, any excuse to come back to Wilmington, you know, because I can see my friends and gallivant for the day and then go back. It's like growing pains, though. You know, and that's the whole element of, like, courage and versatility. Fortune favors the bold. And we were at a place where it felt kind of stagnant. And so I think my intuition was telling me long before the move that we were going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in denial. You know how, like, you get that, like, sense of knowing about something and it's, like, not the thing that you want it to be. And then you're just like, I'm just going to pretend that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And then everything just lined up. And it was actually the most seamless process ever.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So seamless.
That's great. Yeah. And I know moving, because I moved with a family, my kids are older than yours, but moving with a family and having roots somewhere feels like, I always equated it to like turning like a cruise ship around, like in mid trip or something. It felt like we had all the pieces in place, all the resources in terms of care and who we went to for what and our grocery stores. And now... you know, you've got to, like, completely kind of build roots. Did you have any connections in the area you live now? Okay, so this
None.
Is, like, brand new.
Brand new. Brand new. And it's so funny because, like, sparing all the details, essentially, my husband has been kind of, like, jumping on different lily pads, like, the lily pads being, like, jobs to get to this one unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, we all traveled as, like, a wind family because he worked on wind turbines.
Oh, wow.
And the kids were small. I didn't have my youngest now. I only had my oldest and my middle, who was like from the time he was 2 to 4 years old and from the time my middle child was like a newborn until she was like 2 years old. Yeah. And so we were traveling all over. And then we came home at like the end of COVID, like the, you know, shutdown, it was like the end of 2020, we came home and we never left again, but he continued to travel.
Oh, that's hard.
And that's when I kind of like established my roots here in the metaphysical community. I started like doing readings at like a local metaphysical shop and reconnected with Fox and, you know, made all these wonderful friends and community outside of my parenthood community. And so I kind of got, as much as that sucked parenting solo and missing my partner, who's my best friend and my soulmate, yeah, I found so much of myself in that process. And then we like manifested for him to come back home.
Oh, I love that.
And I remember petitioning to the universe, like the exact criteria, which you're not supposed to do. But I think I'm a, like, someone told me I'm a specific manifester. And so I guess I have to be specific with what I want.
Yep.
But I gave specific kind of criteria that we needed for to make it happen. And it just happened like so seamlessly. He came home a few months before my youngest was born. And all of that experience he had previously got him a couple other jobs in the interim between like the one he had when he came home to the one he has now in Durham, which he otherwise wouldn't have ever qualified for.
So all the pieces were
the prerequisites to get him where he is now, and his opportunity is like so much more abundant.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you got the chance to travel around. Mm-hmm. Where was your favorite place you went?
Colorado.
Mm.
Yeah, I went to Garden of the Gods. Mm-hmm. I really like the springs, and it's just like the energy there is so different. It's like just as powerful as it is being coastal, but like when you grow up by the coast, you appreciate the other scenery. But like there's a reason everyone from non-coastal spaces come to coastal areas. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's all magical.
Yes, I know. I don't do very good in altitude situations, yeah, but I do enjoy visiting the mountains. And whether it's like once a year, we'll go to Asheville area or Boone, and then when I have been to Colorado actually quite a few times, and I do love it in the moment, but I'm so glad when I get back to sea level.
I couldn't live there. Yeah, I'm the same way. And I'm super sensitive to extremes.
Yeah.
Extreme cold and extreme heat, which like in the summertime here, unless I'm at the beach, I'm inside.
I know. Today the humidity is out.
I want to be nice and cozy.
I told my husband, I'm like, I feel like I can't breathe already. He's like, oh, great. This is going to be fun with you all summer long. I love it. I'll just lie flat. Just leave me. So tell us a little bit about, because everybody, I think, listening, our audience appreciates hearing, like, what resonates with you in terms of your astrology or human design, or even you mentioned your soul animal. So we can dive in. Yeah. Is there anything there that you resonate with most or want to share?
I want to start with the soul animal because that's
everybody does, by the way.
That's my funniest. And like, that's such a funny story. And I love when I get to hear Fox tell it or when I tell it. So for your listeners who have obviously been like acquainted with Fox already, she is like the soul animal person. I first started my metaphysical journey about 10 years ago after my grandfather passed away. In that grief, I was searching for like the meaning of life. He raised me. So it was like the equivalent of losing like my entire family.
Yeah.
Even though I was like 20 years old, I felt like very orphaned. And so I was like angry, I was grieving and desperately searching for some kind of connection to him through spirit. And so I was, you know, looking for mediums in the area. I was, you know, I had my first tarot readings after he passed away. And I'd always been drawn to those things, but I grew up heavily religious. Mm-hmm. And so after my grandfather passed away, it was kind of like permission to
explore.
And so I went to Mystic Elements, which is this shop that Fox was working at the time, and I needed help with the home that I lived in. It was, if you want to say it, it was haunted. It is haunted. It's like in a very spiritually active ecosystem.
Where was it?
In Monkey Junction, but it's like next to the water, next to the inlet, and it's in like an area that I later found out because I had it investigated.
Yeah.
I had paranormal investigators research the area.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Like connected through Roger Lockshear.
Okay.
Like
I do know of him. Yes. Roger.
He connected me with some people to help, and he's done like some house blessings for us. And so I was the only one ever afflicted by the home. My husband wasn't. My children weren't. You know, I'm just, you know, no surprise, the sensitive one.
Yeah.
And so that's where my connection with Fox came in, because I was like, can you just go wave some herbs at my house and fix it? Like, I'm fluttering into this like little tiny metaphysical shop with this lady who I'm meeting for the first time, and I'm like, fix my life.
You're like, look, I have ghosts and I need help.
And I'm like crying because it's like terrifying.
Yeah.
And she's just staring at me, and she's looking at my husband, who is like empathetic towards me, but like, why are we here? This makes no, like, what's going on, mm-hmm, you know? And so then she started talking about like fear and how that's a huge part of my like karmic path. She's like, as a sparrow. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what? As a what?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
And she's like, no, you're a soul animal. Like, you're a spirit. You are a sparrow, which is all, you know, tiny bird. Like, that, no wonder you feel so small. No wonder you feel so afraid. Tiny bird. And I was like, I'm not a tiny bird. Me? No. Surely I'm like a monitor lizard or something, like Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Like wolf, lion, anything, but like tiny bird.
Right.
And she's like, oh, like that's tiny bird syndrome. Sweet. Yeah, like your sweet child.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but your husband's a predator. She didn't tell me what he was at the time. And you just see him. He's a golden eagle. And if you, if
oh, in I'm married to an eagle.
Oh, isn't it fun?
Oh, it's an adventure of its own. Yes.
He resonated with the eagle very much. But you know, we didn't find out in that moment what he was. Just that he was a predator. And the jealousy I felt. I was like, what do you mean? I'm not the cool one.
Right.
But anyway, it stuck with me. I didn't speak with Fox again until years later when our paths
like, recrossed. How long ago was that?
My grandfather passed in 2014. So okay. I think this is in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I reconnected with her in like beginning of 2021.
The big question here is what happened to the spirits in your house?
Oh, yeah. They're still there.
Was it an old house?
Oh, yeah. She's old. She's a golden girl. She's like got her character, you know, like little, like some creaks, some cracks. Just she's just charming old house. But the energy is still very much there. I just was competing with it. It was just reciprocating what I was bringing to the table.
So you were kind of feeding it and not and unknowingly, of course.
Yeah. So she had that conversation with me. She was like, your house is a reflection of you. That energy is mirroring back to you what you need to work on, what you need to address. And she's like, how long are you going to allow yourself to be inflicted by something you have power over?
Yeah, and I really appreciate that perspective because I think all the ridiculous sensationalized, although I do like some, I'm very particular about my paranormal viewing because I like it to be somewhat intelligent in terms of like history and not just like a bunch of fear factor stuff, but it's like that is so much out there and it's like, no, because exactly what you're saying. You decide if you want to allow that fear to, you know, perpetuate.
And
right?
I certainly had some scary situations in there because I'm prey, right? Like I'm vulnerable. And when I say I'm prey, it's like I'm susceptible to like being, like they can poke at me and
target
I'm going
you.
To, yeah.
And you're probably a pretty open person anyway.
Yeah. And it was a big lesson in like my own energetic boundaries, like personal maintenance, things like that. And like my willpower, my tenacity, my perspective on these things. Like you are the most powerful thing in the room. You are an extension of the universe. You are an extension of cosmic energy, of source power experiencing itself through the human experience. We have this ability to sit on both sides of that veil. So we can pick up on all of the sensations, human sensations and spiritual sensations. You know, the more open we are, the more vulnerable we are to like those experiences.
But it was ultimately empowering.
It was a lifelong childhood like source of trauma. Ended up being like full circle, like my purpose.
Yeah.
You know, the more I connected with my intuition, the more I decided how that was going to go, the more power I took back through that development. House and I are on good terms.
So did you move or did you stay there for a while?
That's actually my childhood home.
Okay.
And we still have it here. Yeah.
I got you.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now. That was definitely then something that you had. Yeah.
And that's why I was so desperate to, because after my grandfather passed away, we were moving back into the home.
I got
And I missed out. I left out some good details, didn't I? So that's why I was like, you know, I remember when my husband was like, we have to go back. We have to like take care of it and all this stuff. I just remember like hyperventilating and being like, I can't go back there. I moved out the day I turned 18. I was still in high school. And it's not because like my grandfather was awful. I just hated being there. And so my husband, who did have kind of a bad childhood, you know, he was also like kind of ready to get out and do his own thing. Mm-hmm. So we pulled together our resources and like got our own apartment before we even graduated high school. And, you know, he was ready to escape his demons. I was ready to escape mine.
So Fox was an initial expander.
She was, yeah.
Expander for you, as she is for all of
us. As a guide, who brought me back into what that space was trying to teach me.
Yeah. And give you back some of your, or let you realize some of your power in the situation.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's really potent.
Well, now I love being a sparrow because I'm like, that's badass. Like, do you know how much harder?
Tell us about being a sparrow. What is the, what are the positive or
sorry, I don't know if traits. Was I allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
So yeah, the in a nutshell, sparrow medicine is courage, and sparrows through community thrive. A sparrow is kind of insignificant by itself, and I am a community creature. I'm not competitive in the least. I'm like, when we all can feast, right? Because sparrows work together in their bush, where there is the ones feeding, the others like on the ground feeding, the others are keeping watch. And one of the analogies I like to use for a sparrow is whether they are on the ground or they are in flight, they're vulnerable. So even when they're fleeing, like they're vulnerable. Even when they're eating, they're vulnerable. And so it's like, if you are too afraid to fly, if you are too afraid to eat, what are you gonna do? You're gonna die. So you have to contend with that vulnerability, and it's through your community, it's through your peers, it's through your relationships. What you're consuming, like we're so sensitive to what we're consuming. So consuming fear-based content and like buying into the idea that we're isolated and it's every man for himself, like the narrative that the society we live in is perpetuating to keep us divided, to keep us in competition with one another. Like that's not my language.
Yeah, so your medicine is here to disrupt that and to be an essence of that courage and boldness that your animal brings us. I love that. What about your astrology?
So that's like obviously a lifelong study.
I get
and it. I feel like I can go back to my chart and find something new every single time. But I really resonate with my big three. I think we'll just start there because that's like what most people are going to understand.
Most for you.
I'm a Pisces sun. And, you know, Pisces is main character energy. So, like, I definitely like that. And then I also have Virgo rising, so Virgo first house, which is kind of like my thorn in the side because I never live up to my own expectations, right? Like that perfectionist.
Yeah, and first house energy is always a little.
Yeah. And so I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. And it's not necessarily because, like, I mean, I guess it would be an ego-driven thing, but it's just...
It's your comfort.
It's my comfort. Yeah, I'm comfortable doing all of those things. And also no one could do it better than me. But at the same time, everyone does it better than me.
Oh.
That's like the identity shift.
I totally relate to that. I actually don't have much Virgo in my chart, but I totally relate to that.
It's my only earth sign in any like personal placement.
Yeah.
And then I'm a Scorpio moon. So, you know, like I had my chart read and I asked her, I was like, am I intuitive? And she's like, what? Like you have all these intuitive placements.
She's like,
placements.
I think you know.
Yeah. She's like, you have all these intuitive placements. And it's that Virgo that's like can't like get with the program. So I'm kind of destined to live out this life of like imposter syndrome. But that's what feeds that fear, right? The vulnerability is that I'm not good enough. I'm not adequate. I'm insignificant. I am the cheerleader, not the not the leader or the role model.
I feel you. There's a lot of contradictions, I guess, in everyone's chart that I know very intimately my own. And oh my gosh, they are so there and present when I mean, honestly, like I feel it all the time. I'm like,
it's funny how it all crosses over your human design, your astrology, your soul animal, right? I can see all of those themes in my chart. And so even the soul animal, which doesn't, you know, Fox doesn't collect your date of birth,
right?
Your time
which
of birth.
Which is amazing in of itself.
You know, she just looks at you and is like, here's your animal wrapped up in this box. And, you know, but it like you can see those themes manifested in the other blueprints.
Exactly. And what was your human design?
I'm a manifesting generator.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all these ideas.
Love it.
And you know, I'm a 6'2".
Okay, me too.
Oh, yeah. See, I see you. You see me.
6'2". Yeah. We're also like...
The hermit, the role model.
Exactly. We're like, we're just going to be back here in our own little world, but we know a lot of things that we could help with if we, you know, are not...
What I was really sad to read about was your life purpose isn't typically like full circle until you're in your 50s, but it makes so much sense because I see that playing out now. Like, I just hit that 30 milestone.
Okay, so you're and I'm like, on the roof, so to speak.
Yeah, on the roof. But like 50 is when it all comes together.
Well, I'm closer to 50 and I can tell you that it's been a bit of a struggle, but I don't know the good news, bad news. It's been a bit of a struggle for sure in kind of feeling like that really anchored in purpose. I've floated a bit, done a few things and still am kind of like open to discovering like, yeah, I feel that sense of kind of like, I'm excited now that I'm closer to 50. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel here. I see where we're going. Whereas before I was like, just head down in life.
Well, it's like we're collecting data. we're collecting that wisdom.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Like you can't be a role model if like you don't walk the walk,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's through the life experiences that we gain, through the lessons we're learning, our soul is trying to learn in this human experience, that we are able to then make that impact.
That's right. Yep. I'm welcoming in the crone energy, to be honest. I'm kind of over being the maiden. I'm ready. I don't know. But okay, so tell us a little bit about your work in the world. Like, what are you feeling right now called to share, or what do you feel like you're, you know, helping with, and how that is manifesting?
So as a manifesting generator, that's the challenging part.
It's a hard thing to identify,
right? Because
it's
like, I don't necessarily, like, there's not just one thing that sticks. I like a lot of hats.
I understand
in my closet.
I'm not a manifesting generator, and I feel that deeply.
Like, I have commitment issues. I'm like, but if I say I'm one thing, it discounts all the other things.
But I'm so much more. And I know, and it's really label. I don't really like that question, so to speak, because labels are so hard. Because I'm like,
hard.
I change, like, stick around. I change, like, a chameleon.
And I think my 10th house, my midheaven, is Gemini. Mm. And so, like, my what feels purposeful to me is going to be very fluid and change all the time. And some things are going to be prioritized more than others. And I'm learning to lean into that energy because, like, you know, going back to the whole Virgo first house thing, you want to have control. You want to have structure and expectations.
Yeah.
For me, I think my big purpose is empowering others to, lead an intuitive life, or lead their life from intuitive spaces, because that's been my biggest lesson, is how to contend with fear, mm-hmm. How to conjure up that courage. And it's through consistently trying to keep safety within yourself, or like source your own safety through trust with yourself. And that's where inner child work comes in.
Yes.
Because we all have this like underdeveloped aspect of ourselves that dwells within the unconscious space, but it manifests through our emotions. It manifests through our behavior patterns. It manifests in our relationships and mm-hmm. our like mental patterns. I refer to those things as like developmental deficits. So it's where in our childhood we didn't get the regulation we needed, our emotional needs met, our unique needs met, which is why I love looking at my children's astrology charts, because it gives me like what they need specifically.
I hear you.
But where we have those deficits, they keep playing out. And so if you have little 2-year-old you kicking and screaming, and you're just grabbing that little version of you by the wrist and saying, come on, let's go. I'm just trying to go to the store and get this done. Little you is like, but I don't know where you're taking me. I don't trust you. Mm. And then going to the store is going to be that much harder, mm-hmm. you know, and I use that as an analogy for leaning into the intuition. So when it comes time to take a leap or follow the breadcrumbs, your guides, the universe is giving you, the state of your inner child is going to determine not the outcome of that experience, because you can do it anyway, but the way you experience it.
And I've heard this recently that really resonated, because I too understand a lot of what you're sharing, and I've done some work in this area.
It's ongoing.
It is. I have a Scorpio stellium in the 5th house.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I am like an interesting mix of like real depth and like mystery and that kind of moodiness. And then also like, let's have fun and let's be playful and romantic and joyful. But the inner child piece and like discovering what's underneath that. And, you know, those little pieces of ourselves that we've abandoned, because I think everyone does, whether they consciously realize it or not. There's some piece of you that you tucked away because you felt like it wasn't lovable, or you felt like it wasn't accepted or approved. So you kind of tuck that away. And then there's a disconnect, right? Because you're like, oh, but I'm an adult and now I'm out in the world doing my thing. But there's a disconnect. And it's like we only manifest at the speed of safety. So if we don't feel safe in those underlying pieces of ourselves, it's like there's a disconnect, right?
Well, it's like if you take the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the pyramid of needs, mm-hmm. and you overlap it with like the chakra system, right?
Yeah.
Each chakra corresponds with a layer mm-hmm. of the pyramid. So you cannot self-actualize without all of those other fundamental pieces being in place. So like your physical safety has to be met before food and water, and then food and water have to be met before like emotional safety, which is like connection to caregivers. Mm-hmm. So the parents out there, they're like, well, I feed you, I water you, I bathe you, and you have clothes on your back. Like that's literally the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That is literally the bare minimum. And growing up with parents or caregivers who tell you you should be grateful to mm-hmm. receive the bare minimum, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. how do you think that ties into your story of self-worth? That you're only worth the bare minimum or subpar. And then we don't pursue anything beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Exactly.
And then it's like that creates the barrier to, or one of the many barriers to, like, personal fulfillment and self-actualization. Mm-hmm. We are either setting our children up to succeed and thrive, or we're setting them up to fail. And we're going to do both. We're going to do both. Right. Like, we're not perfect. I look at my children and I'm like, yep, I'd cause that. Like, I directly, like, that's trauma we're going to work through later. Mm-hmm. But understanding, too, we signed up for that. We yeah. signed up to learn these lessons and teach these lessons to our children as well. They come in more evolved than us.
And they signed up for it, too,
yeah,
right?
They did. Yeah.
And they're, you know, one of the things that I was shown with my daughter, who was going through a particularly hard time when she was about 11, is that she's as powerful as the sun. She came here on her own accord yeah. to do her own journey, to learn her own lessons. So, yes, this is hard, but you're strong enough, and she's strong enough to ultimately make her own path, I guess, or her own way. And it kind of was like, oh, yeah, that's important to remember, because I think we do sometimes either overcompensate maybe yeah. for where we're not, yeah, for the aspects of our raising of, quote-unquote, raising of our children, even though I feel like she's been my teacher more than anything at this point, you know. But it's like we, you know, have to also give them credit for them being sovereign and on their own journey and their own path. And it's not ultimately all about us, too.
And that's where I think, you know, we see a lot of conscious mothers who are dedicating their blood, sweat, and tears to just avoiding, like, raising their children peacefully. They do their best not to yell. They implement all of these, like, try to achieve secure attachment patterns and just parenting consciously. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just, I have so many friends who are so consumed by that. And I also subscribe to, like, I can't yeah. do this work and not subscribe to attachment, yeah. like, you know, creating secure attachment with my children and, yeah. you know, co-sleeping and, you know, just meeting their needs where they're at and not right. judging their needs.
Right.
You know, not like assigning value to those needs and, like, just assuming
or expecting it to be a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is really hard to be, to be honest, but, at least it was for me.
I'm also realistic in what I can reasonably and not reasonably accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, I do my best to stay patient. I do my best to have, like, a dialogue and a narrative that's empowering to them and, like, redirecting them. But other times I'm also like, get your asses in
I'm
the car.
I'm very human. Mom yeah. is a human. Look out.
Yeah.
You know. No, absolutely. And I think it's like this interesting intersection right now of people who, parents, mothers who are very aware. They're very, like, coming online with their own, like, yeah. stuff, right? And being conscious of that and how they're potentially projecting and affecting their family unit. I mean, think about that. Leslie, well, my generation, that was not a thing,
yeah.
you know? Like, nobody really, everybody then was just kind of trying to do their best, right, with their own
stuff. You
do
the best you can with what you had. And it wasn't until I became a mother that I, like, really felt compassion for my mother.
Right?
I resented right? my mother, like, major mother wound energy, and I resented yeah. her until I became a mother and I started doing my own personal work. And I found so much compassion and empathy for her yeah. to the point where, like, we have a really healthy relationship. And yeah. as I learned to take accountability and take responsibility for my emotions, my actions, all of those things, she has began to do the same. Like, I never would have been able to sit down with my mother and tell her a way that she harmed me. And now I can sit down and have these conversations with her. And she's just like, wow, like, thank you for bringing that to my attention.
I love
you
that.
Know, and it's like when we do the work, both as daughters and as mothers, mm-hmm. it, like, has a sideways effect.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And that's an interesting position that I think this time period of people around our ages are going through, where we're affecting generation before us in a healing, positive way, and our children.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can only, like, hope that they, like, we gave a better experience, so hopefully they come out better, even through the shortcomings and where we weren't able to bridge the gap.
I would say yes. I mean, my daughter's gonna be 18, and it's amazing how self-aware she is.
Yeah.
Like, she really is very, like, and again, there weren't things that I did perfectly, I'll tell you. Like, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
But I,
we
you know,
could, like, spend all day.
Yeah, exactly. But she's very, very wise and self-aware to the point where I'm like, yeah, you're going to be good. Like, you see things beyond your age, for sure. So, yeah, and definitely can appreciate bringing just an intuitive approach to parenting and to mothering and to living from that way. I mean, I think you and I talked about, we share this in common because, you know, some people, when you sit down with them, they want to be prepared. They want to know everything you're going to say. And I was like, hey, do you want me to tell you what I'm going to ask today or what I'm thinking about asking? And you're like, no, let's just flow in our intuition. I'm like, perfect. And then some of the things you were just sharing about the inner child, I was literally journaling about this morning. So I feel like our higher selves were already having like their own
sidebar. It's all orchestrated.
Sidebar.
We're just the mouthpiece. Yeah. Exactly. And so like, that's where, you know, I think inner child work is a fairly new concept. And so when people think about it, you know, they think like, oh, doing some reflection prompts or maybe playing with some Play-Doh. And while those are certainly great tools for inner child work, having someone to help you through that, having someone to help you tap into that part of yourself, because you have it closed for a reason. Like, you have that door shut, you have that little child in the closet for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we don't feel safe to explore it without someone else present. Because our caregivers were supposed to be our regulators. Like, children don't have the ability to regulate their own nervous system. Even as adults, co-regulation is so important when we're in like an activated or inflamed space. You know, that's why we are like partner animals, not just for procreation, but also because like safety, emotional safety.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. We are kind of wired to seek companionship when we are hurting emotionally, physically. You know, other people, some people will close off instead when they feel vulnerable, they'll isolate, but that's because companionship was never safe.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get co-regulation, so they coped through isolation. So, you know, it's just interesting to observe all these different behavior patterns and, you know, identify and like analyze the root of that and see the common denominators and what causes what pattern and what can we do about it.
Right.
So as an intuitive, as I was explaining earlier, it's like being able to connect to that part of you and experience the emotions that are there, experience what you were experiencing as a child. And so it can be heavy work, for sure. And while I'm not a licensed therapist, I'm not a mental health professional, I do my absolute best to like do this practice ethically. Because as an intuitive, just because you're perceiving something doesn't mean it needs to be said. Re-traumatization is so likely in any kind of healer space. And if you're not equipped to handle that, or your client's not equipped to receive that, you've got to navigate that with their best interest in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's not about being accurate.
I feel that.
It's not about being right. It's not about like surprising them with how much you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether or not they have the capacity to receive that in that moment. And so that's why I think it's really important for any healer, any intuitive, to just keep checks and balances with their ethics.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we've, again, this is an interesting time where we've seen a lot of kind of going off the rails with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a little bit of a right sizing happening where now the pendulum's kind of swinging the other way. We're like, oh yeah, okay, wait a second. I don't have to be the guru end all be all for this person that's sitting in front of me, like, in, you know, taking basically, essentially then, you know, you're kind of almost taking over their authority or their power.
Yeah.
In that moment to say like, well, I know this. And yeah, there's been some interesting stuff going on where people I think now are waking up to like, oh, wait a second. And I'm all about that. Like, like showing people their own knowing, their own intuition. And that's the most of it. Staying close to themselves.
There was a definition, you know, our ego is there like to be checks and balances. Our ego is so intelligent. And it took me forever to realize that, because when I first started my spiritual journey, I thought like the whole purpose was to outrun your ego.
Disassociate from it.
But in reality, your ego is your survival. Your ego is your humanity. And you need your ego for your intuition to work, because the purpose your intuition serves is to learn about you. It's to do the work in terms of kind of coming back into your body, experiencing the emotions, experiencing the narrative. Like, what I tell people all the time is like, my number one advice is to talk to yourself in your head, have full conversations. Like, I will make these drives from Durham to Wilmington or wherever I'm going with absolutely no sound, because I am consuming that drive with talking to myself and almost being my own therapist or mediator. I'm observing what I'm thinking about. I'm observing how I'm talking to myself in those times, and then using my intuition to kind of like analyze it, interpret it, and see what it's telling me, what I need to know in that space. So like, the number one purpose of your intuition isn't to, you know, pull cards at a psychic fair or to talk to someone's grandma. Those things are really cool, right? But first and foremost, what you're saying is like, our job is to help people connect to that part of themselves so that they can get to know themselves on a deeper level, not just their human aspects, but their soul aspects, which they need to to experience that like fulfillment or self-actualization.
Yeah, and we're so bombarded with constant content and information. And listen, I love a podcast. I love zoning out to,
scrolling.
It's just like, it's so intimate what this medium is, because people listen, the way people consume podcasts is really interesting to me, because they are not generally distracted as much as like watching a YouTube video or scrolling, things like that, right? You are locked in and you're listening, like actually paying attention to what another human interaction is happening or someone is sharing.
Yeah.
I love it so much. It's almost a little bit of like, an escape. And so to your point about making space for just quiet tuning in and hearing what your messages are and what you are needing most in the moment is so important now more than ever, because there's so many options of things to
And we're distract. So impressionable. We are peer community creatures, so we want to kind of follow the herd. It's just a natural biological mechanism to keep us safe. As a consumer, when we're on social media, and like, we can't avoid that. Your business is like, your social media is your business when you're in any kind of entrepreneurial line of work. So it's finding a healthy relationship with being the creator, right? Making sure that what you're pushing out is aligned, but also what you're consuming isn't contaminating what you're supposed to be providing or how you're supposed to be interacting with the world around
you. It's a fine line between finding inspiration, because I think I get caught in that trap where I'm like, oh, I'll just scroll for some inspiration or to learn something, right? Because I love that and I love to learn. But I also, like, it's a fine line between, you don't even consciously realize sometimes how what you're consuming is seeping in and affecting you.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And it pops up in your face in unexpected ways almost, because you're like, comparison and all of the traps that we all know about that happen, right?
Yeah.
And so it is, it's always like, I gotta like really check myself, because I, I love a good scroll and think I'm doing something good, or think I'm finding inspiration or something, right?
No, it's a delicate balance for sure.
It definitely is. It definitely is. So right now, I know you shared a little bit with me in terms of your work and what you are, doing in your sessions. And is that something that you find people find you for, is intuitive guidance or help with inner child work?
It typically starts out as, hey, are you available for tarot readings? Because I use the cards in my practice.
Yep.
I love the cards. My deck is like falling apart.
Well loved, yeah.
She's almost at the point of retiring, but I refuse to.
How you got into your work, is through the tarot?
Yeah. So my grandfather passed away, I couldn't afford a medium. I was a broke college kid, and mediumship readings at that time were way more expensive than tarot readings, even though I don't think there's really a comparison between them. They're two very different things. Mm-hmm. But I guess mediumship, people seek mediumship in desperate spaces, so they're typically willing to pay more. And then I found this wonderful tarot reader. She did the readings at her kitchen table for $25. And at the time I was like, yep, that's the one. I don't know what she's going to tell me. I don't know anything about tarot, but that's it.
Yeah.
Cause that's all I can afford. And man, did she deliver. She's phenomenal. She told me that I was going to, so at the time I was in school, I wanted to be a doctor. I was like going through my undergrad to do pre-med, and my plan was to go to medical school. And so I was like talking about this with her, and I was like, but I feel so lost after my grandpa passed away. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm an adult now and I don't feel like it. And she's like, well, if you don't feel like it now, wait, in about 3 years, you're going to have a kid and you're not going to finish school, but it's okay. Because like, and then she was like, you're going to have a job that you really like, and you're not going to be able to keep it because you are going to have a kid, and you're going to have to drop out of school, but it's going to lead you to where you're supposed to go. You're not a doctor, you're a healer. And I was like, what does that mean? Because at that point, I didn't want children. I didn't want children at all. So to hear that I was going to have to give up my whole life.
That's very confronting.
Yeah, to hear I was going to have to give up my whole life to have a child, and like, all of that stuff was very hard. I walked out of there and I completely forgot about it. I was like, I don't want to think about this. She's wrong. And I've had people walk out of sessions with me doing the same thing. And I'm like, oh, you wait, child. You just wait 3 years from now, you know. Yeah. And then sure enough, she told me it was going to be a boy. He was going to have blonde hair, blue eyes, which statistically speaking wasn't that far-fetched.
Sure,
but, you know,
sure.
She was right. 3 years later on the dot, I gave birth. I had just gotten a job that was like supplemental to my schooling. I was going to try and finish my last year pregnant, but I would have delivered in the middle of the school year. And so I dropped out. But motherhood was like my school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wasn't connected to my intuition until I had to be. And through each child, my life has just changed and transformed so dramatically in all the best ways. And I like this version of myself so much more. Every year, I like the version of myself more than I did before. But pre-child me, she wasn't it.
Yeah.
I love her. She was young. But, you know, like this, I just matured so much and found my purpose that, like, mothers and parents and however parents identify, I found my most potent medicine in that space. And I, like, feel like sharing that with the, mm-hmm. with the communities that I'm in. I'm just so much more empathically connected to that experience in others. And so I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be. And my ultimate goal, like when I'm 50, is to be a midwife.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. So I'm a doula now. I want to be a midwife. And like, it's been a long time coming.
Bless the doulas, honestly. Like, I had a doula with my son, not with my first child, but my son. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, this should be a normal.
It should be, but it's a I mean, it's a privilege now, but it should be like yeah. doulas and like people should have access to like doula support and midwifery care. The statistics and evidence like just say that like outcomes, perinatal outcomes are just so much better
yeah.
with that support in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, because that it's like you know, you're in this alternate reality when you're giving birth, right? And you need somebody who's got your back, and you can't necessarily expect your partner to be that person because they're having their own experience, right?
Yeah.
They're having their own out-of-body
experience. Partners
need
support too, you know?
Yeah.
But like we just through the feminine experience are connected, you know?
Yes.
And are like the support is just different. But yeah. The spiritual role in that, you know, I refer to myself as the intuitive doula is because I'm both. So I can doula you through your birth, but I can also doula you through your spiritual growth mm-hmm. and your inner child work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that partnership is really yeah. important, especially during, for me, it wasn't until my kids were a little bit older that I felt like I was really leaning into, like, getting to know my intuition, getting to know, you know, quote unquote, like, a spiritual awakening type experience, you know, but having, and I also think I didn't have a lot of mothers in my circle at yeah. that time that were speaking that language. Everybody was doing, like, typical small talk type stuff, but if someone had come to me like you are and said, you know, talking about your children's, whether it's their astrology or whether it's who they are
yeah.
as an individual and, you know, showing compassion for their sensitivities and things like that, I would have been really into that.
I know. And that's the hard part. Like just moving to Durham, right?
Yeah.
I'm like desperately trying to find connection, both
yeah.
work, like your girl needs work, but also just sisterhood, community, the village. Going to the playgrounds or like the child spaces and, you know, if the kids connect with other kids there, like connecting with their parents. And it's very surface level talk about weather and schools and, you know, oh, how long have you lived here? And I'm like, so what's your relationship like with your mother?
It's so exhausting. I know, right?
What's your relationship like with your father?
It's so exhausting.
What's your favorite memory as a child? Do you like crystals? What's your moon sign?
I love it.
And then they're just like, what? Who are you?
Yeah. Are
yeah,
you?
So
I would have been your best
hard.
Friend, by the way.
Yeah.
I would have been like, wait a minute. I want to talk more.
It's isolating in a lot of ways
yeah.
because like when you have the, especially the scorpionic elements, like
yeah.
you don't know how to just exist at the surface. Like small talk is so challenging for me.
Oh my gosh.
And it makes me not palatable to a lot of places, but that's like where we shake things up.
Right? I understand. And that's part of this podcast mission is
yeah.
really finding community within the, you know, I don't like to refer to us as black sheep. I like to refer to us as more like sparkle ponies, like sparkle
I
rebel ponies or
that.
Something,
yeah.
you know, like we're, yeah, we're the ones that kind of sparkle a little
I
bit.
I was just telling someone that I was the
out.
Black sheep in the family, but I'm totally like coining, because
yeah.
you can coin it, but I'm
no,
like
go
adopting
for it.
Sparkle
no,
pony.
I'm telling you, go for it, for sure. Yeah, I was going to ask you like, what do you do with your time that's a guilty pleasure? I was like, I hate that word. That's the worst. That's like implying
why is pleasure
shame.
Guilty?
Exactly. Yeah. Why is pleasure guilty? And why is it? And so then I was like, oh, what is your, so let me ask you, what is your positive indulgence? How does that feel?
Okay.
Does that sound better?
This is so cliche, but coffee.
Okay.
I have an espresso machine at home, and it's not like a big fancy one that you would get at the coffee shop. So it was like just one off Amazon from Black Friday. But I find it to be so cathartic to just make myself my coffee or my, I'll do coffee and herbal tea. I love, like, that Virgo mm-hmm. rising in me really loves earth medicine, plant medicine. Mm-hmm. So herbs are, like, a huge part of my, like, personal maintenance. So when I get to make a tea or I get to make a coffee, it just feels magical. It feels like I'm mixing, like, a potion, you know, adding all these little ingredients.
Yes.
And just making it so aesthetic. And it only takes a few minutes. So typically my kids can be engaged long enough for me to do that quietly. But
it's a nice, like, anchor to yourself, isn't it?
And then, it feels like something I'm doing for me. Mm-hmm. And that would be, like, the guilty pleasure, right? Because it's, like, depending on who you ask, that coffee might not be very good for your body. But, I tell everyone, I'm like, if you ask me to give up coffee...
It's just all relative.
Yeah.
I know. I've been round and round with coffee myself, and there's been periods of time where I'm like, yeah, this probably isn't the best. So I'll do half-calf, but...
Oh, not even. Yeah. Have you heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yes.
I know someone. She's a local intuitive in Wilmington. Her name's Kelly McGuire. She, I think, has gone to a couple of his events or conferences. And she, you know, I was talking with her about, like, the intersection of nourishing your body, taking care of your body. Your body is the vessel. Your body is the temple. And, like, how that ties into your intuitive development. Because mm-hmm. the idea is that, like, the more pure.
Clear, right.
Clear you are, the more access you have to source. And I don't know why that just feels so hierarchical to me. I can see the reason why that is out there, but I also, like, part of me is like, but that's really hard.
Yeah.
And I was talking with her about it, and I was like, so apparently, like, you can't be intuitive unless you do yoga and eat vegan or, you know, all these things. But it's
right.
like, but that's why your body's intuitive. Like, your body is going to take you to the things that you need
oh.
to take care of itself, whether that's yoga, whether that's veganism, whether that's carnivore diet. Like, there is no casting judgment on these lifestyles because, like, we are being led to the way we are supposed to do things to achieve our optimal state. I just completely bypassed my whole point with that. Going back to what I was talking with Kelly about, she was like, well, he says you can do what you want. Like, you can eat how you want, drink the beer, have the chicken wings, and you can still, like, achieve intuitive connection
yeah.
and the ability to, like, be.
But everybody, I mean, everything needs, based on their own intuition
yeah.
and their own body chemistry, something very different.
Exactly.
So I get very tripped up when people are one size fits all with anything
exactly.
because there's certain aspects of certain ways of eating that are just not going to ever be good for certain people's chemistry, biochemistry, their
yeah.
genetics. Like, it gets very complicated. So I feel like it's very nuanced. And I'm glad to see that people are returning a bit to that because
yeah.
I think we all went, including myself, way off the rails with, like, this is good for everybody. Everybody should be doing blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, oh, wait, okay. And I can have a mutual, like, I can understand and appreciate with empathy that that is the way you need
exactly.
to be. And at this point in your life, too, like, you may not always feel that way. It's
going
to change. It's
gonna
going to be fluid.
But the idea is that, like, you know, your body is a part of your intuition, and it's going to show you where it needs to go.
Yes.
And it is a subjective experience.
Exactly. Depending on the day. So positive indulgence, coffee and tea. I feel you
oh,
there.
Yeah. So I started with coffee.
I start my day with the coffee. I end my day with herbal tea. And I am a bit of a creature. Well, I am a creature of habit. So I love it. I feel you there. And then what about if you were to spend the day anywhere, where would you go?
I would go to the beach without my children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's just something so magical about that salt water. I would just spend the whole day in it. And I don't really like being out in the sun. I don't really like heat. But if I'm on the beach, like, there's nothing better than that feeling of, like, the sand on your skin, like, the earth supporting, like,
yes.
when you're laying down on the beach, the earth just supporting your body and, like, just absorbing all of that wonderful sunshine and the salt.
The negative ions get
oh
me every
gosh.
Time. I know. I'm with you.
I would
Do you get in the water?
Yeah, absolutely. If I, like, my perfect day would be just going in the water.
All right, guys. So I'm going to admit, I haven't been getting in the water. Now, I don't know what that's about. I feel like I'm a dolphin. That's my
yeah.
animal. I don't know why I'm not getting in the water. One would think I'd be getting in the water. I feel like it has to do with hair maintenance mostly because my hair requires a lot of blowout and a lot of effort to get. So it's a very vain reason. But this year I'm going to commit to getting immersed in the salt water because I feel like I'm not. What am I doing? I live here. Like, I should be getting in the water. So maybe you can hold me. that. I'll check that.
Absolutely. But also just something to keep in mind for your, like, investigation into the block there, right? If water is emotion and fluidity and salt is healing, well, like, you have to kind of break open the barriers for that energy to be released. It doesn't just go and get zapped out of you. It has to come through you. So there might be some aspect there where, like, that repression is, like, extra strong right now because of avoiding that outcome.
You know what it is, I think, too, is I very much like to be in control. And when you get into the ocean, you're kind of at the mercy of
I have the biggest fear of sharks. I love the water, but I am terrified. I know, like, my odds are, like, because I can't guarantee I won't get attacked by a shark. I'm, like, terrified the whole time I'm in there.
Seriously. Well, maybe I'll start off wading in my, you know.
Just,
well,
like, feet first.
I think that I do get in. I should clarify. I do get, like, I'll sit in, like, the little tide pools and stuff, but getting my hair wet, I think getting immersed in the water is the thing.
Swim cap.
I could wear. Okay. We need to come up with more fashionable swim caps these days, I feel like.
Or embrace the mess, you know?
I know, right?
Those two options.
Yeah, because I have really curly, not even curly, I don't know what you call it, kind of frizzy hair. But, okay, not that we're talking about that today. So I wanted to know, in the spirit of vulnerability, what is something you're learning right now, or something you're, I know you shared a little bit about being relocated to a new place, having to kind of find your community and your bearings, but, like, what are you going through that you would
share? Accountability. Not that I am a stranger to accountability and responsibility. In fact, I think that I put too much pressure on myself in a lot of ways, but I am being shown where my depletion that I'm responsible for mending and nourishing is getting in the way of my goals. And like, when I moved to Durham, I was, like, ready to hit the ground running. I was like, you know, there's no shortage of people giving birth in Durham. I can easily get 4 birth clients a month and, like, financially contribute to my family. I can continue doing, like, online virtual sessions, you know, through the inner child work, readings, things like that. And, but the move, the transition, being completely thrown out of my comfort zone, adapting to motherhood and the children, like, holding the space for their emotions. Their whole lives have been completely changed and twisted upside down. And they're learning what resentment feels like, because they had everything here. They had great schools. They had their friends. Like, we all had it. And so they're holding space for them while holding space for myself is really challenging. And because it requires so much more effort and so much more work to take care of myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I got a gym membership and I've gone, like, 3 times. You know, but, like, maybe I love when
not,
I go.
Maybe that's not really what is needed right now.
Well, you know? It's fun. I like to go with my husband, and I'm like, I want more time with my husband, and that's a way to do it. And I'm like, but now I just want to lay in bed. But it's like, you know, I'm learning accountability, and the universe is asking me, how bad do you want the things you want?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's, like, the biggest thing right now is having compassion for the ways that this is hard, but also deciding that my desire is stronger than the challenge is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I had a whole download about this. It's so funny. I had a whole download about this whole conversation, which is really cool. But I had read something, and I can't remember where, but it was talking about the cost or the benefit to, you know, having a goal or having something you're working towards. And you think it's like, oh, that's going to be amazing. I'm going to do it. But then you forget, like, what is the investment I'm going to have to put into this? And am I willing to show up for that? Or is maybe not the right time, or maybe I need to give myself more space and time to heal and settle and all of that, right? Like, it may still happen. It's just, it's hard sometimes. We put timelines on ourselves, right?
Yeah, and time pressure doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a lot of internal pressure to be a certain place at a certain time and in your life and have all these boxes checked. And I have a lot of empathy for, like, the move part, because I'm not even gonna tell you how long it took till I felt like I could actually, like, find my groove again. It took a while.
Yeah, I'm learning. Yeah. I'm definitely learning. But also having compassion for the days where nothing is done.
That's right.
I as, like, an individual need a lot of rest. I'm not sleeping at all. And I keep telling my husband, I'm like, the world isn't ready for me on a full night's sleep. It's simply not ready for me.
That's right.
So everyone's preparing for the time that I get a full 8 hours of sleep.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then look out. Well, I've loved our conversation, Jill, and thank you for being here today. Is there any, well, first of all, tell people how they can find you, and then let us know if you have any final things you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. So I'm completely under construction in all the professional areas of my life as I'm, like, refining from the move and stuff. But my Instagram is @sparrowspassage. just, beautiful. You know, Sparrow's passage. And I chose that because it's like being the companion, the doula for your passage mm-hmm. into these different initiations in life. So that's the best way I could describe or name what I do.
And I do love your Instagram. Yeah. It's very colorful. Yeah. And like, I feel your authenticity.
It's more of a documentation of me doing the work so people can see in real time what that might look like. So yeah, that's how anyone interested could reach out to me, just to follow or also to connect professionally. But I also always keep my inbox open. I have like an open door policy. Like, I'm here for any questions, any resources you might need, you know, because it's companionship.
Yep. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It was so exciting just to sit here and have a conversation with another adult.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for dropping in.
Thank you.